2008, there came a little shift caused by General Jesus and his leadership. He said, get faith and get a little mean. Catch the muddy tares and wipe the field clean. We swung our swords and the tares started falling. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. Swung once more and they began to run it to the underground like snakes into a hole.
One, two, three, four.
We looked around and we saw what they had done. There must have been 100 of them having demonic fun. Their heads stood high and they looked like creepy things. We stood by General Jesus and all began to sing. We swung our swords and the tares started falling. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We swung once more and they began to run it to the underground like snakes into a hole.
One, two, three, four.
Jesus said we could take them by surprise if we held our faith and looked them in the eye. We held our faith and we saw their faces well. Then we opened up prayer and sent them all to well. We swung our swords and the tares started falling. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We swung once more and they began to run it to the underground like snakes into a hole.
One, two, three, four.
They ran to the courts and they ran to the Clintons and they ran to the Bushes. Where else could they go? They ran so fast, hellhounds couldn't catch them. Down, down, down to the crafts of G.O.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
We fired a holy cannon till the barrel melted down. So we grabbed a donkey bone and fought another round. And then we found an elephant and powdered his behind. And when they saw it coming, they really lost their mind. We swung our swords and the tares started falling. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We swung once more and they began to run it to the underground like snakes into a hole.
One, two, three, four.
They ran to the courts and they ran to the Clintons and they ran to the Bushes. Where else could they go? They ran so fast, hellhounds couldn't catch them. Down, down, down to the grass of Sheol.
One, two.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ this Sunday morning, August 24th, 2025. We thank you for joining us here, and we hope you're prayed up as the summer just marches right on. We've only got a few more weeks of summer left. We hope that it's become part of your routine, if it wasn't already, getting your prayers said. You know, we start here, we start the review of the news off with the pistol prayer. We see it coming true. I'm happy. I'm glad to see it coming true. I'm glad that the plans of the enemy are failing, that they're not working like they used to. And so we're going to keep praying it. We've got it on a Bible bookmarker. We'd be glad to send it to you. Just request it. Hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority. We say DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells. Send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be. And thank you. Thank you for the victory. You know, that prayer is truth. We're going to talk a little bit about truth and what that does for you this morning. With everything going on, picked out a couple of some things going on I thought I'd share with you. Don't know if you heard all about them, but I thought we'd share them with you this morning. But I want to start out in Deuteronomy. Got a couple verses in Deuteronomy this morning. But we're going to start out in Deuteronomy 6, verse 18. And let's take a look. The Word of God is timeless, as it was then, it is really for today as well. It says, do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well with you, and that you may enter and possess the good land that the Lord your God swore to give your fathers. Now, there's a cause and effect there. You know, if you study for a test, you'll probably pass the test, but you got to do that before the test, right? And it's that way here. Do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, and it'll go well with you. You'll get the land. It'll be good for you, right? So that it may be well with you. Well, we saw what happens when they don't do this, and I think we're seeing it again in circumstances, in certain states, in certain areas, that when they don't, when our leaders and the people that are there that approve it, when they don't do what is right and good things don't go well. It's just that simple. And, you know, when David was king, and when David sinned, who paid the price? Do you remember? It was the people. It was the people that paid the price when the leadership sinned. Same way today. I saw this because we have quite a bit of this around in, well, here, this part of Colorado, as well as in parts of Wyoming. Sugar beets. They grow a lot of sugar beets out here. And grow a lot of sugar beets in California. They did. No more. No more. That's what a big old sugar beet looks like. At least certain varieties right out of the, right out off the farm. I've never grown any that big, but that's what a lot of the commercial ones look like. The last sugar beet factory to leave California, and it is devastating the local industry. The last sugar beet factory is to leave California, costing hundreds of jobs, devastating the local industry, despite the fact that growing conditions in the Imperial Valley are ideal for the crop. And, you know, the news reports coming out, state mismanagement and overzealous unions have combined with obscure federal policies and industrial collusion. A lot of big words there, right? It makes it sound good. To end operations of the last sugar beet factory in California, barring future changes, been there 78 years, this last farm. And says here, due to strict federal limits on who can make beet sugar in the United States, the Imperial Valley will be unable to process any more beets once the plant closes, effectively ending sugar beet farming in the region. Let me ask you, you know, all that farmland, what do you think is going to happen to that? Now that the farm's been shut down, where they farmed and processed it for 78 years. News has rocked the Imperial Valley. Jobs are hard to come by. Farming is the second largest employer. County officials say the plant's closure means the loss of a $243 million industry and more than 700 local jobs. And that's one. You see this slide. Businesses leaving California. They are. People are leaving California. Real simple. They're unfriendly to business. You see the one of Newsom down there, there by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out started in California and has grown over half the nation. I know they're down in Vegas and all over. They moved out. And I saw that Gavin Newsom, their governor, named the U-Haul Salesperson of the Year because more people are moving out, businesses. Why? Because they haven't done what's good and right in the sight of the Lord. Now, they may be making money hand over fist, but that's not what's good and right in the sight of the Lord. And I think that that's what's going on. I think people are waking up. Oh, it's hitting them financially when they're not doing what's good and right, when they're living in places where the leadership is not doing what's good and right. You see it in all the big cities where you have crime and high taxes and pollution. It's just that way. But businesses are leaving California. Primary reason cited being high cost of living and doing business, including taxes, regulations, housing costs. While some argue that California's economy remains strong, others point to a significant net outflow of businesses, particularly in recent years. And we've been seeing this on and on and on and continuing on. This isn't something new. This is something that has continued to grow. And, you know, we look to the Word and try to say, why? Why are these things happening? Because the Word is truth, and it tells us why. It's because, like we read in Deuteronomy, the leadership there, the people there are not doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord. It's as simple as that. And also California, did you see this horrendous crash? I had a picture here. It was this illegal truck driver made a U-turn on the Florida Turnpike and just cut across a lane of traffic. Of course, that's what's left of a minivan that had three South Floridians in it, and it killed all them on impact. If you saw the video, he saw it, and his facial expression didn't change. You know, wouldn't you think that if you just caused a wreck that just totally ruins your day, if nothing else, totally demolished the other vehicle, that something, you know, you'd some facial expression? Saw the video. His face was as impassive as if he'd have just made the turn and kept going. Of course he's a criminal, illegal alien. Yes, of course he is. And this is just the latest in many. We've seen him down here on I-70 in Denver. We've seen him out on I-25 and on I-80, all over out here. And I'm sure you've seen him also. The illegal truck driver behind the fatal U-turn failed his English language test. The wreck killed three Floridians. During an interview with the driver, who has been identified as Harjinder Singh, is that how you pronounce it? Investigators administered an English language proficiency, ELP assessment. Singh failed the assessment and only provided correct responses to just 2 of 12 verbal questions. Okay? You know, and that's about truck driving. What do you do at a stop sign? What do you do at a yellow light? Or what do you do when you see a wait sign on the, verbal things. Says he only accurately identified 1 of 4 highway traffic signs, according to the press release. That's a 25% on traffic signs. You know, I've raised children. They've all got driver's license, right or wrong. But, you know, they had to go down and take the test and sit down there when they're to get your permit and recognize the signs. And you had to do better than 1 out of 4. That's to get a regular driver's license, much less a commercial driver's license. They go researching this guy on July 15th, 2023. Washington State issued him a regular full-term commercial driver's license. And on July 23rd, 2024, he was issued a limited-term non-domiciled CDL in California. He entered the United States illegally through the southern border in 2018, and then goes on to obtain a commercial driver's license in California. You know, I remember pastor teaching years and years ago that it came before the people of California. Should we give illegals driver's license? And the people overwhelmingly, this was back in the early 2000s, the people overwhelmingly, 85% voted no on a state referendum. A federal judge says, we're going to do it anyway. They have not done what is good and right. And it is the people that pay. It's the people that have tried to make a living in California that can't anymore. It's the three people that are just driving down the Florida Turnpike in the van whose life ends just in an instant because of this illegal, because of what California has done. This is one instance in hundreds of thousands. See, it's a different law for us. It's a different law for my children to be able to pass a, they have to be able to read the test, an English proficiency. They have to be able to tell what the road signs are. And if they get too many wrong on the test, they don't get their license. See, that's one law. But here's another law that gives this criminal illegal alien, and that's a term we need to use, criminal alien, a commercial driver's license when he doesn't know. Told you we were in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 28:15. If, however, you do not obey the Lord your God by carefully following all his commandments and statutes I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And it's from Deuteronomy 28:16 to the end. What is it, 69 or 70? Lots of verses on the curses for not obeying. and we are living them today. I got to share that with a person last weekend, and they asked me, what do you mean? I said, have you ever read Deuteronomy 28? They asked me what I thought the state of the nation was and where we were in the Bible and stuff. I said, read Deuteronomy 28. God keeps his word. We haven't obeyed his word, and so as a nation, as a people, we're getting the curses. And it's just repentance that'll change that. Well, Remnant, we try to remind you of our network website, sfawbn.com. Tons of information there, the Newswire. We try to list current events and breaking news that we get in from you, from all around the country, all around the world. And so if you've got things happening, you see things of interest where you are, by all means, you see the email on the screen. You can email them to jason@sfaw.org, and we'll do our best to share them on the Newswire. Tons of information there, the broadcast schedule. You can look at watching or listen to the streams there. Lots of resources as well. And so we encourage you to visit there, sfawbn.com. So, whew, man, that didn't sound like good news, things going on. Well, let's take a look. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So it's encouragement for all of us to do that very thing, to not beat down, but to encourage one another, right? And to be encouraged. So got a couple of things that I think are just a little better, right? Things a little bit better. I think that we look at individual, for the nation to move in a better direction, individuals have to start moving in a better direction. For the nation to have salvation, the individual has to find salvation. For the nation to turn back to God, the people have, that's where it has to start. Now, there may be leadership that helps in that, but it really is a, what do you call it? Symbiotic. It's a relationship that goes hand in hand. It really is. The hearts of the people have to change. I think that's one of the foundational changes that has to happen. And I think we're seeing it in many different areas. Here's another area. Costco. Costco will not sell the abortion pills in its U.S. pharmacies. Canada, I don't know. But in the U.S., they won't. Neither Walmart nor Albertsons carry this Mifepristone, whatever that is, either, per the report that I saw with this. And now, Costco didn't come out and say, we're standing up for women and right. No, they said, you know, it's just demand has dropped. I'll take that. They used to sell it, and now they don't. And that's better. I think that's better. I think that's a move in the right direction. I mean, you know, that's better than them saying, hey, us along with all the other pharmacies are stocking up, so if you need it, come get it. No, it's a move in the right direction, and that's good. Now, Costco, I've got a Costco membership, and I debate about it because I know they're big on the DEI still. They haven't backed off of that. You know, as a company, that it's a mix. It really is, in my opinion. But I'm glad they've done this. And it was good to see when I was looking into this report that neither Walmart nor Albertsons carry this abortion pill either in their pharmacies. And they're pretty much nationwide as well. And so that's better. That's because the people, I think the hearts of the people have changed, and they've let their legislatures and their managers and whatnot at places like Costco and stuff know. And like Costco said, demand is down. That's good. Demand is down for abortion pills. That is a good thing in this nation. So saw this also about NPR, National Propaganda Radio. You know, they got defunded, and so they're still crying the blues for money. But even NPR... I heard this earlier this week. Even NPR admits that crime is down in Washington, D.C. Oh, there's all kind of reports about falsified records, and they changed the terminology of serious and violent and crime and all kind of stuff. And yeah, that goes on. That goes on. But crime is down in Washington, D.C., but still a reality in some neighborhoods, is what it said. That there on the left, D.C. crime victims' families share stories of grief. Yeah, if you've been affected by crime, if you've been mugged or beat up, or your car's been stolen, or your wife or girlfriend or daughter's been beaten up, or worse, or your house has been broken into, crime's not down. Any crime is too much. And so it's better when national propaganda radio, national Jewish radio, national NPR radio is admitting truth. Flagrant. It's out there. It's out there. It's in your face truth if NPR is admitting it. And that's good. I saw this. This kind of caught my eye, and I thought, you know, I never heard about this, but it makes sense. It's called Rent a Grandmother. Okay? The Japanese have started it, and it looks to expand. But the Japanese have started it. They apparently have a, you know, they have all these older women that either weren't married or they're widowed or whatever, and they needed something to do. So this guy came up with this Rent a Grandmother. Client Partners is what it's called. It says, some people may never have had a mother in the first place, he says. Our grandmother staff members who cook for the guests and act like a mother to them help provide the motherly warmth they need. And I added that on the bottom. Maybe they are on to something. How about that? You mean even the Japanese see that there's they've got a full generation that don't have motherly figures, that don't have grandmothers and things like that. And they need it. They want it and they need it. And so, anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting. That was kind of caught my eye there that Rent a Grandmother comes in and cooks for you and sits down and asks you about your day and, you know, is motherly, grandmotherly. How about that? Wow. That's what people want. Imagine that. Imagine that. And I saw this blast from the past. I remember this. I'm aging myself a little bit. 1990, we came on the ministry right after this, 1992, I think. But this was a paper that came out. It said, what if we had listened to Pat Buchanan in 1990? And it goes in and it mentions this. I've got it on the screen. When Pat Buchanan campaigned for the Republican presidential nomination in the 1990s, he made tariffs a central pillar of his platform. Now, you got to remember, the 1990s, we didn't have this global economy. I remember I was working with UPS, and they were just, UPS still had intrastate in the nation, and there was no global economy. The foreign nations were just starting to open up to trade, and there was not this big global mess like there is today, not at all. He made tariffs a central pillar of his platform. He warned that unchecked globalization, which is what we've had, would hollow out American industry, erode the middle class, and leave the nation vulnerable to economic dependence. How about that? How about that? And that's exactly what's happened. This new paper, a new working paper released this month, asked that question. Excuse me. What would have happened if the country had adopted Buchanan's ideas sooner? Because we're having tariffs imposed now, and it's not crashing the economy. It's making it look a little better down the road. And the answer they came out with, the United States would likely be richer and more industrially balanced today. So it said the average would be about another $7,000. I guess it was a year per family. I think that's what it was. About another $7,200 per year per family is what they said that, you know, just some of their numbers I came up with. I thought this was an interesting, when I was putting this together, interesting quote from Pat Buchanan, and yeah, we're wrapping up here pretty in just a minute, said, and this was a quote from way back. He said, if we do not get control of our borders, by 2050, Americans of European descent will be a minority in the nation their ancestors created and built. Now, there's a blast from the past, a truth. And so what if we'd have listened to Buchanan and put those things in? Well, perhaps the nation would be better off. Perhaps, you know, our people would have another $7,000 a year. Perhaps. And so when I saw that, it made me think, you know, what if we had listened to Pastor Peters? Now, some of us have. Some of us have, and it's changed our lives. Praise the Lord. Some of us, he opened our eyes to the truth of the word, and it did change our lives. And that's good. I know I speak to many of you out there, but I put this in out in generality, you know. What if back in the 1990s, because he was hitting it hard then, people would have listened to him. And if you can get that one, I think one more slide, Jason, for this. And I just put four little things up here. You know, what if they'd have listened to Pastor Peters about the warnings about vaccinations? Well, let me tell you wouldn't have autism today. There's one part. And what that's my opinion, okay, my opinion, because I've seen autism grow side by side with the vaccination numbers. How about a double-minded people, right? That dialectical materialism, believing opposites and then getting caught in a spell. See, you'd believe truth. You wouldn't be caught. We wouldn't have the spell of the Judeo-Christianity today. How about his book, The Unseen War? If you haven't read that, we'd be glad to send that to you. That's a must. The Unseen War. It's a war. I think about when Pastor talked about, you know, when the Japanese were bombing the ships in Pearl Harbor and the one guy was running out, war, war, war. You know, what if they hadn't have done that? What if nobody realized it was a war? That would have been a greatly different outcome. We need to realize it's a war today. And then Baal worship. I included that as well. Baals. The Baals are in the land. What are the Baals? Read your Bible. The false gods. The things that come before God. What if? Well, let me tell you, more and more people are listening now. Different formats, they're still waking up, and that's a good thing. It really is. I'm almost out of time. My last scripture for the day, real simple. Zach and I were talking about it. I think he mentions it today in the new message for you. And it's John 8:32. It's as simple as that. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And those tie in hand. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. We've got more for you. Another fantastic Timeless Pulpit Truth message from Pastor Peters. And then a brand new message for you by Brother Zach, continuing on in Acts. So God bless. We'll see you later.
Jesus is living water. We pray and face these final days with faith in living water. Jesus is living water. And with our armor on, we labor long and sing his song of water. Jesus is living water. Keep a pressing on till the evil's dead and gone. God will have the final call and will wash us. Wash us all with water. We rise and face this world's rat race through grace of living water. Jesus is living water. 'cause at the end, his church will win and usher in sweet, sweet water. Jesus is living water. Pressing on till the evil's dead and gone. God will have the final call and wash us. Wash us all with water. Keep pressing on till the evil's dead and gone. God will have the final call and wash us, wash us all with water. Jesus is living water.